Because beyond reminder apps, there's a real need for the development of high tech to empower people living with Alzheimer's. You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of The Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Thank you for joining me to listen to this podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Now, if you're not a techie, then today's episode may be boring to you, but I do think it will help everyone see there are some technology solutions that can help make the dementia journey that much better. I'll be discussing assistive technology with more of a focus on high-tech solutions and how this technology can help the Alzheimer's care partners. Simply put, assistive technology is anything that makes completing a task simpler and safer for people with unique needs. Reading glasses, a lazy Susan, a self-driving car are all examples of assistive technology. Most of you probably don't know, but I'm an electronics engineer by degree and I spent about 20 years in the high-tech industry. I've been a designer and a leader of teams developing products and solutions. Before Togetherness, I left my career and my plans were to start a company to develop assistive technologies to help older adults. Long story short, that didn't go as planned, and I turned my focus to making Togetherness a resource that families can trust to help them through possibly the toughest experience they will ever have. I've done a lot of research on how technology can help families living with Alzheimer's, and frankly, assistive, cutting-edge technology geared for the Alzheimer's care partnership is scarce. What I've seen is that it's much easier for manufacturers to sell an inferior product to teenagers and millennials who will work through the bugs than it is to sell a product that enriches the lives of people with special needs. I am really disappointed by the lack of involvement big companies seem to show when it comes to developing technology that is needed. The increased design complexity required for older adults, and especially those with dementia, tends to drive companies away. As a result, big companies tend to only stick their toes into the water due to the lower profit margins. Based on the lack of products developed by the bigger companies, part of me believes they only do any of this for publicity. A goal of mine has been to work with the dementia community to identify solutions that can be developed to help. After listening to this podcast, I hope you will share any ideas with me that you may have. Technology isn't going to fix things, but if designed properly, technology can help ease the pains of family caregiving while helping the care recipient remain safe, independent, and enriched. I've identified four categories that I'm going to discuss in this episode, and they are caregiver peace of mind, caregiver empowerment, patient assistance, and patient enrichment. I'm going to cover a lot, but don't worry if you miss something, because I will provide a link to the articles this podcast is derived from in the show notes at togetherness.com/episode 13. Now, caregiver peace of mind is about ensuring that the person with Alzheimer's is safe, happy, and well at all times. Since caregivers can't have a watchful eye 24/7 and in-home services are not always possible, technology must play a role in filling the gap to provide this peace of mind. I'm going to briefly touch on six technologies in this category. First are surveillance cameras. Now that Wi-Fi is common in most homes, the cost of camera systems has dropped significantly in the past years. I have two usage scenarios for you here. First, the caregiver is at home with their loved one. In this scenario, the caregiver is in another room of the house but can see the individual on a monitor. Think of baby monitors as an example. This allows the caregiver to get more done or simply rest while their loved one is in another part of the home. In the second scenario, the caregiver is away from home. In this instance, the caregiver can view the individual remotely via a mobile device. These are sometimes referred to or thought of as nanny cams, which tends to imply one camera watching one area. However, as prices continue to drop, having a suite of cameras throughout the home is becoming more realistic. I met a daughter in support group who was able to attend only because she had this type of system set up at home and she could see dad on her tablet. Though camera systems might be considered invasive and setup can get complicated, they are becoming more affordable and easier to use, and you have to weigh the pros and cons of having them. Used appropriately, this gives the caregiver the freedom to be away from their loved one or even monitor hired help. The next technology under caregiver peace of mind are sensors within the home. Sensors of this type fall into one of three usages. First, there are proximity sensors, which detect objects within a localized range. This is generally under 1,000 feet. A transmitter is placed on a person or object that the caregiver doesn't want to lose. The transmitter emits a beacon that can be detected by a receiver. Status sensors determine if something is open, closed, or on or off. Security sensors, for instance, can detect the opening of a door or window. Other sensors detect light or the absence of light and respond accordingly. Last, we have sensors used to detect things such as gas, smoke, or carbon monoxide. These sensors used in the home are great for providing alarms in the event of a trigger. They tend to be easy to install and are generally inexpensive. However, installation and use of sophisticated systems can become complicated, but there are many professionals available to help, and the cost is much lower than the alternative of assisted living or paying for a medical emergency. Next, I'm going to discuss remote trackers for when you or your loved one are away from home. Although newer protocols are coming, this technology is primarily comprised of GPS, which stands for Global Positioning Systems. This technology allows us to locate something practically anywhere around the world. Some are fixed into vehicles, others are found in cell phones, bracelets, or other handheld devices. Some are now even being put into shoes, jewelry, and other apparel. Batteries must remain charged to ensure proper performance, and performance can also be hindered by obstacles that block the line of sight with the satellites. For instance, if the subject is in a building, they may not be seen by the sensor. Such usage will likely require a monthly service plan, but the associated hardware is becoming more available. If anyone has some suggestions on a great GPS device for your loved one, please feel free to communicate that through the show notes or email me at togetherinthis.com. Our next technology under caregiver peace of mind is personal emergency response systems, or PRS. These systems help notify others if a person has an emergency, such as a fall. Generally, the user wears a transmitter which communicates through a phone line to a response center. Some require the user to push a button, and newer ones can actually detect a sudden change in elevation in case of a fall. While these devices can provide increased independence for an older adult, they are not particularly suited for someone with dementia due to the need to wear the device at all times and interact with it when needed. They also require a service plan and must be within a limited range of the home phone where the receiver is located. Technology number 5 under caregiver peace of mind is all about medication adherence. This technology is comprised of reminder systems and tracking systems to ensure that medications are properly administered at the right dosage and time. These range from simple reminder apps on smartphones to more sophisticated dispenser systems. Newer technologies can also detect how much medication remains in a bottle. While these solutions are not suited for most people in the middle to late stages with dementia to use unsupervised, they do ease the burden on the caregiver. Reminder systems are generally inexpensive, while the dispenser systems can get pricey. And of course, no system can ensure that the patient actually took the medication. The final technology under caregiver peace of mind is remote biometric monitoring. These devices allow a person's vitals and other important data to be monitored at home. This information can include things such as blood pressure, temperature, weight, respiratory rate, and oxygen consumption. Devices can be hidden. For instance, a weight scale can be embedded in a mat and determine the person's weight when they step up to a counter. Real-time data can be sent directly to the medical professional without any action by the user. This reduces the number of doctor visits and also helps identify potential problems sooner. While this is possibly the fastest growing category discussed, the technologies are still relatively new and aren't necessarily dementia friendly. All of the categories discussed so far come together to improve home safety and patient well-being. This added assistance provides the caregiver with improved peace of mind. Category 2 of assistive technology is about empowering the caregiver by providing the tools and resources to make them stronger and more confident in managing their unique situation. Although primitive by comparison to today's high-tech, a health journal, wall calendar, and a pen and paper might just do the job. However, when caring for someone with Alzheimer's while still balancing the different aspects of a career, family, and personal life, caregivers need more help. Empowerment is achieved through self-education, organization, and coordination. When these three items are applied, the resulting action is in the best interest of the care partnership. This results in better well-being for all involved, including the person with Alzheimer's or other dementia. Short of having a personal robotic assistant, high-tech really isn't that advanced when we discuss these items. In fact, most of the technology in this area involves a combination of computer, software, and internet. And yes, your smartphone and tablet are considered computers. Now, I realize a holistic approach to empowerment would also include things such as maintaining proper emotional and physical health, along with getting adequate support. But for the sake of this discussion, I will be discussing high-tech, or low-tech probably in this instance, as it relates to helping the caregiver take appropriate action through self-education, organization, and coordination. In my opinion, knowledge is a caregiver's number one tool. So unless you're trained for caring for a person with Alzheimer's, you need ongoing self-education. But you're busy, so you need that learning to be as easy and convenient as possible. Probably the greatest advance in the last 20 years is the internet, which has brought the world's libraries and publications to our fingertips. We can even get data in text, video, or audio format, which caters to our personal learning preferences. And with a smartphone or tablet, we can easily access this data while on the go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One device that I have grown to love as an educational tool is the ebook reader. Think of a Kindle or a Nook, for instance. For under $100, and my Kindle only costs $60, you can have a device that allows you to easily download books or articles to read at any time, anywhere, even in bright sunlight. Just throw it in your purse and go. YouTube is a free service where you can watch countless videos on various topics. Anything from how to improve nutrition to how to deal with a behavioral issue during the later stages. There are also some smartphone apps out there that claim to help the caregiver learn, but to be honest, I have yet to find one that I would personally use or even recommend. But don't let that stop you from giving them a try, because people are developing new tools all the time, and I do believe they're getting better. And let me know in the comments if you recommend one. Along with self-education, organization is an important piece of caregiver empowerment. As the caregiver for someone, you need to worry about the legal, financial, insurance, and medical aspects of their life. It's hard enough to keep up with your own information, so it's vital that you put systems in place to have their information organized and readily available at all times. This will result in fewer mistakes, a happier you, and ultimately improved peace of mind. There are online organizations which provide software and a repository location for this data to be stored. These cloud-based solutions allow easy access to the information at all times from anywhere around the world. For instance, Safely Filed or even Microsoft has their Health Vault. Please note that I haven't personally tried either of these. Sometimes, however, you may just want to use a spreadsheet and store the info on the cloud yourself. The final piece of caregiver empowerment that I'm going to touch on is coordination. If you want to survive as the primary caregiver for your parent, you need to have help. This support may come from friends, family, or professionals. Now, there are a lot of moving parts, and it's extremely important that this information is coordinated and everyone is on the same page. A handful of companies have developed sophisticated systems that allow the members of the care circle to provide updates so that everyone is notified. Most of these are available as an app for your smart device. Remember though, sometimes a simple email to the care team will suffice. In my article, which you will find a link to in the show notes, I provide some examples you can look into. As you can see, there really aren't any high-tech gadgets that I've discovered to aid in this area of need. There are, however, some online solutions that help the caregiver by providing services that combine the need to manage the many aspects of caregiving into one solution. But don't forget, sometimes the best tech is low tech, so don't be hesitant to utilize a pencil and paper. Our third category of assistive technology to help the Alzheimer's Care Partnership is high-tech to empower the person with Alzheimer's disease. Using high-tech to empower the person with Alzheimer's is about helping them remain confident and independent in their abilities throughout the day. Even without high-tech, a person diagnosed with Alzheimer's is often capable of living a productive life for many years. With high-tech, confidence can be increased even more, resulting in prolonged independence and purpose. Although the loss of short-term memory is often the first thing noticed, Alzheimer's is much more than a memory disease. Throughout the stages of the disease, a person will eventually lose more abilities, such as learning new things, concentration, communication, and problem-solving. As a result, there are some fundamental design constraints that must be considered. For any device, the user must be able to learn how to use the device before their ability to learn is lost. So the sooner something is introduced, the greater the chance of it having a prolonged benefit. The user must also recognize the purpose of the device. For instance, one company has a radio on the market that they designed to be simple for people with Alzheimer's to use. Unfortunately, it doesn't look anything like a radio, so many people simply don't use it. In fact, their test results stated that many people were suspicious of the device. However, it continues to be sold, so it must work for some people. In my opinion, the radio should look like a radio from the 50s, 60s, or 70s with a dial that can change channels or songs. In fact, I have some on my Amazon store where you can even plug an MP3 player into it. For the sake of this discussion, high-tech to empower the person with Alzheimer's is categorized into two groups, passive and intelligent. Passive devices don't have feedback circuitry, and therefore, once programmed, won't adjust their output based on input. Although not necessarily high-tech, think of a clock that displays the time and day in text. It's Monday, 8 a.m. This device does the same thing repeatedly, but a person who can no longer interpret a calendar can possibly read such a clock. A friend of mine with Alzheimer's has trouble concentrating when out in public because his brain can no longer filter out ambient noise. For him, a directional microphone with attached to noise-canceling headphones would potentially allow him to comfortably go out to dinner with his wife. Going a little more high-tech but still not so intelligent might include a pillbox that dispenses the correct medication at the correct time, or a lost item tracker such as the Duet or Tracker R that allow you to attach a small tracker to an item and track it via a smartphone if it's misplaced. Unlike passive devices, intelligent devices have feedback circuitry and thus can adjust their output based on a changing input. They use more computer processing and perhaps utilize a bit of artificial intelligence. To adapt to the person with Alzheimer's, these systems, in my opinion, should provide what I call computer-initiated engagement, or CIE. This level of sophistication could interpret the user's inputs, habits, and potentially their emotions. Using the data, CIE can then compensate by nudging, reminding, and even comforting the user. Now remember, this isn't on the market, it's just one of my pipe dream ideas. As software continues to evolve with increased image processing and artificial intelligence, solutions will be developed to further empower the person with Alzheimer's or other unique and special needs. For example, body-worn vision systems, also known as cameras, with sophisticated algorithms are capable of logging a person's movements throughout the day. This process, often referred to as life logging, will allow the person with Alzheimer's to review events in case of a lapse in memory. Remember that person that may become lost and the GPS couldn't find in the building? Well, a body-worn camera doing life logging would actually show us where they were last seen or where they currently are even. Body-worn systems also have the potential to recognize faces or common household items. So instead of feeling embarrassed by forgetting someone's name, the system could provide the feedback to the user before it becomes a problem. Please understand again that these items are not available. I'm just simply sharing my ideas and observations. Since passive devices are not as sophisticated as intelligent devices, the development costs should be much lower with quicker time to market. As of today, intelligent devices specifically for someone with Alzheimer's may not even exist. However, technologies are now on the market which could be adapted. There is a real opportunity being missed here because beyond reminder apps, there's a real need for the development of high tech to empower people living with Alzheimer's. The challenge for developers is that no two people with Alzheimer's are alike, and mental abilities actually regress backwards at different rates for each person, opposite that of a child who is learning. If introduced early enough to the person with Alzheimer's, the technology can be learned, therefore making it a transparent part of their life. This will help prolong their independence and purpose by compensating as their needs increase. Our final category to discuss is patient enrichment, and unfortunately, it has the least technological advances. To enrich, the technology must create purpose and help the individual feel successful while putting a smile on their face by lifting their spirits. Most technology in this category is low-tech as well and requires significant caregiver interaction, especially during the middle and late stages. I have yet to find an affordable system designed to encompass the many facets of this enrichment process. The closest thing is the home computer and the smart TV. But I do believe there is hope that technology will be developed, so I will discuss what I think a high-tech solution should encompass. To reduce the burden on the caregiver and the patient, the system must be somewhat automagic. Meaning, as I discussed a little bit earlier, it must adapt to the individual at all times, and things have to work at all times. It needs to provide sensory stimulation and the ability to reminisce through music, pictures, and videos. Using facial recognition and emotion detection algorithms, it should be able to determine a person's mood and adapt accordingly. For instance, if the system plays a song that causes the person to become sad, it should detect the frown and automatically switch to a song that puts a smile on the person's face. Similar technology is being used in advertising to understand consumer behavior, so it could be adapted to help here. Developing high-tech for patient enrichment will take a team that's empathetic to the challenges faced by the dementia care partners. The developers must work closely with the Alzheimer's and dementia community to ensure success. But no matter how good the technology, there will always be a need for the caregiver to help at some point, and personal interaction will always be the best enrichment of all. Now, before I close out, be sure to check out the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode13 for a link to my Amazon store where you'll be able to see many of the low-tech items I have personally identified to help with patient enrichment. The show notes also has links to other products I discussed today, as well as a link to the articles that this podcast was derived from. That concludes this episode, and I'd like to thank you for listening to my thoughts on high-tech assistive technology for the Alzheimer's care partners. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you liked the episode, and I look forward to talking with you next week, where I'll have the authors of Living with Dying joining us, where they'll teach us all about hospice care. Bye now. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.